Dave Rabbit here again with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. If you love politics and are tired of hearing and reading all that robotic crap that keeps churning out from the mainstream media, then come join me and thousands of people from around the world at AbovePolitics.com. They have political forums for everyone's taste, including U.S. politics, United Kingdom politics, Canadian politics, head-to-head political debates, politics of war. They have a general chit-chat and a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies to the political arena. There's also forums about Mideast conflict, socialism. They have a slugfest, liberalism, conservatism, moderate, and my personal favorite, military and security issues. So if you don't want to be another sheep and want to be a unique thinker, AbovePolitics.com is for you. Part of the Above Network, LLC. Deny apathy. AbovePolitics.com.
Welcome to the Above Politics Show.
Like it or not, we live in times of danger and uncertainty.
Dedicated to intelligent discussion and debate of serious political issues in the U.S. and around the globe.
Absolutely unrealistic.
Borrowing money from China to finance the war in Iraq.
President Bush continues to not let facts get in the way of his ideology.
From AbovePolitics.com, this is the Above Politics Show.
Hi, everybody, and welcome to another edition of the Above Politics Show. I'm Martin Bain.
And I'm Justin Case. Say, Martin, what have you got there?
I've got many things here, but one of the exciting things we've got today is we have our first interview today. Someone has volunteered to let us interview them live on our show.
Really? I didn't know there was that much paperwork involved. Why don't you put that stack down and tell me all about it?
Oh, I knew you were going to ask me an awkward question. We have one of our members, Harlem Hottie, otherwise known as Corinne, who wants to talk to us about what's going on in politics in her area.
All right. Well, you've got the number. Why don't you dial her up?
That's what I'm doing right now. So let's dial her up and get her on the show.
Hello? Hello, Corinne. This is Justin Case, and you're on the Above Politics Show with me and Martin Bain.
Hi.
Hi, Corinne. How are you?
I'm good. How are you?
Very well, thank you. We want to thank you for being the first member to be interviewed on our show. So please be gentle with us. We're supposed to know what we're doing, but it could be an interesting time for the next few minutes.
Yes, well, thanks for signing that waiver, by the way.
Waiver? I've never signed any waivers. This is real. This is live. I don't sign any waivers. Justin, you'll have to tell me about that off air.
Okay, I will. So, Corinne, let us in on your big secret.
Well, apparently, my vote was stolen. I live in New York City, in the 70th Congressional District, and according to the New York Times, apparently, Obama didn't get any votes here. And I voted for Obama. I know several people who did who live in this district. So something is awry.
Uh-huh. And how would they go about stealing your vote?
Well, from what I've seen of the process, I know in my own building there's a voting poll every year or every time there's an election. And they gave me a tally at the end of the night, and there were about 315 votes in my building, and a little over half went to Obama. So the question is, but somewhere between the poll workers and, I guess, the Board of Elections, the votes were lost.
Interesting. And isn't New York sort of fairly heavily into Senator Clinton? Isn't that her, one of her stomping grounds?
So they say.
I'm not a
big Hillary fan.
Hey, well, you've just admitted live to probably millions of people where your loyalties lie here. So you sort of think that someone maliciously did this? I mean, do you think this is a deliberate thing? Do you think this is just an accident?
Well, accidents, we've said this before when there have been disparities in elections. Accidents don't happen totally in one person's favor. If it's an accident, it's going to happen both ways. What they're claiming is that there was human error, people wrote the wrong numbers in boxes, etc. Now, if they wrote the wrong numbers in boxes for Obama, wouldn't they have done the same for Clinton? I suspect it's fraud, and our mayor suspects it's fraud, too. He actually calls the apparent undercounting of the votes, quote, a euphemism for fraud. So.
Interesting. Now, I understand from my insider sources that you are just a little bit more than a moderator on AboveTopSecret.com. So what do your spies in the field have to tell you about all this?
It looks like the party line, it looks like the general thing that they're saying right now, at least from my congressman, Congressman Rangel's office, is that this is the fault of the media. The media, I guess, were the ones who, I guess, wanted results so badly that first night that they wouldn't wait until the results are certified February 26th. So they went ahead and I guess they used the equivalent of exit polling. I really don't even know. But basically what they're telling me is that those results were not real. And we didn't officially put those out. It's the media's fault. That's what I'm getting.
What you're saying there, Corinne, is then that all the exit polls said that everyone had voted for Clinton rather than Obama.
Yes.
Let me
take that back. The first night, February 5th, results came out. They didn't say the results we're giving you are the results of an exit poll. They didn't say that. They called them actual votes. So I'm only hearing this after the fact that it was something akin to an exit poll. Not exactly, but basically they were lying. I don't know. The guy gave me no good answer.
And which, I'm just curious, because, you know, I'm sitting on the other side of the pond, so I haven't sort of, you know, seen all the news coverage. Was this coming out of, say, CNN, Fox, or ABC? Was this all the news services, or was this one particular channel?
The New York Times covered it, the Washington Post blogged on it, and New York One is a local affiliate of CNN. They also covered it.
So, Justin, are these right-leaning organizations, left-leaning organizations, organizations that don't really have any axe to grind?
Well, if what Corinne is saying be the absolute truth, I think we have just stumbled on the tip of a potentially large conspiracy. And I just happen to know a few conspiracy-minded people over at AboveTopSecret.com. So let me ask the question I know somebody's going to put to you here eventually, Corinne. What's your next move?
Well, I guess my next move will have to come after February 26th. The Board of Elections is holding an internal probe, and I'm not sure when the results will be out on that, but I know that the votes will be certified February 26th, so that should be the official tally, and I guess we'll take it from there.
I suppose the question I would want to ask is, How many other people, I mean, you say you know of a few people that voted for Obama. How many votes do you think have been stolen here? Because if it's just your votes have been stolen and the rest of New York basically decided they didn't want to have anything to do with Senator Obama, it's interesting. So do you believe that loads of delegates have been lost? One delegate's been lost? Hundreds of votes? Thousands of votes have been lost?
Well, I can say that the Hillary supporters I've encountered in Central Harlem, I can count on my hands.
Okay.
And I talk to people about this every day. I wear an Obama button. That's basically what I've been hearing. And it's not like I'm like, oh, my God, you know, I hate Hillary, so you better not vote for her. Like, I'm like, oh, who are you voting for? And they're like, Obama.
Since you've mentioned Hillary, would you be opposed to the idea of Hillary being Barack's vice president?
I'm so against Hillary on so many different levels. As a woman, as an American, I disagree with her vote on the war. I disagree with her, with how she won't answer the question after the fact. You know, do you feel you were wrong or not? It's a simple question. You know, people are dead. Answer. And I feel like she plays the American public, and I don't appreciate it.
Can I, and you don't have to answer this question, but I love to ask controversial questions. I would assume that the fact that you're a big Obama fan would imply that you're a Democrat at heart.
Okay, number one, I am not a big Obama fan.
Okay.
I am a somewhat Obama fan. I like him better than I like Hillary. I don't like his involvement with the CFR. There are things about his, you know, his positions that I don't particularly like, but he's a better choice. Am I a Democrat at heart? I don't think so. I think social programs are useful safety net, but I think I'm a social conservative.
Interesting. So I suppose just to sort of give an international parallel there, that would sort of be sort of more sort of liberal leaning to the left in the UK and probably most of Europe, just to sort of help that out a little. So, I mean, I'm just sort of curious. I'm also just trying to drill down a little bit here because it's nice to actually talk with somebody that, say, for example, when Bill Clinton was being elected, did you vote for Clinton as a president?
I wasn't eligible to vote.
I can't tell on radio just how young you are here, so you'll have to excuse me on that one. If you could have voted, would you have voted presumably for a Democratic candidate?
I really wasn't paying attention at the time. Probably so. Who can really say? My first election was 2000.
Okay.
Well, good for you. Say, don't let Martin put you on the spot like that. We want you to be able to come back here again someday. So if you would, if you'd care to wrap things up for us, piece of advice would you give our listeners at this point?
Watch your votes. Get to know your poll workers. Find out if they're generally smart people or generally stupid people, because they will greatly impact your voting experience. Make sure you're registered and vote for somebody. I don't care who. Go out and vote.
Well, I have to agree with that one going, but I've just got one thing I want to ask, and this is coming from a non-American, so I'm just curious. One of the things is that Obama is a Muslim. I'm just curious, what does the Constitution say about when he's sworn in? Will he be sworn in on the Quran or the Bible? And I suppose I'm chucking that to both of you to answer that question, because that's quite interesting and something that's starting to come in the UK about, whether you can be swear on the Christian Bible or on the Quran. So I'm just curious to see what you two think about that.
Obama's not a Muslim.
I keep on hearing he's a Muslim. I've been told. I've seen press reports to say
that's the result of an email. What is it? Dirty Politics and that whole thing. He's not a Muslim. He's been a Christian. He's been in the same Christian church for like 20 years. His father was a Muslim in his childhood, but by the time Obama was born, the father was an atheist. So I don't think he's a Muslim.
Okay. Justin?
So do you happen to know what Mr. Obama's theological leanings are, just so we can set the record straight?
As I understand it, he's a part of a Christian church that a lot of people characterize as black supremacist. I have some issue with that, but the church he goes to is a church that is primarily deals with urban, city-dwelling black people who are dealing with, real quote-unquote issues, not, living in the suburbs and that whole thing. So the point of the church basically is to encourage people to get your act together. Marry your baby mother. Do the things that you're supposed to do. And so they do call it, they do say the black family and the black this and the black that, but I don't see it as being exclusionary. I see it as, let's get our act together, so.
And
he gets points from me for being a part of a church that way.
Justin's probably going to faint when I ask this question, but he and I have spoken about this off air. Looking from the outside in, Corinne, it's very interesting to see that for the first time, the American people may have the opportunity to not vote for a white man for a president. And I'm just curious, just in your views, about whether you think the American people are ready to vote for a black man as president or a white woman as president. And I'm almost trying to get you almost to take away your, it's clear that you prefer Obama over Hillary, but I'm just sort of meaning in general, what do you think the mood of the American people is? Are they ready to take that big leap one way or the other?
They already have. People all over the country are voting for Hillary and Obama. So I think that Americans are definitely ready. I just think that the majority of Americans like Mrs. Clinton, and it's doesn't really have much to do with her being a woman, and they don't like Obama because he's a black man. It has to do with the candidates themselves, which may prove that America has moved on, hopefully.
Okay, well, we appreciate your time. We've kept you quite long enough. Thank you for being on air, and hope I haven't been too hard with you, and you won't give me a hard time or go on the ATS forum and ban me or something for asking some hard questions.
I enjoyed it.
Well, thank you very much. We appreciate your time, and thank you very much.
Thank you, Martin. Thank you, Justin. Have a good show.
Thanks much. That was a good interview.
Well, I'd like to think so. I mean, I know it's relatively new for me on this one, but yeah, it was good to get, from my point of view, to get somebody on there and, ask some interesting questions. And I got to say, Corinne was quite happy to slap me down if I sort of went too close to the bone or asked her things that she thought I was being stupid on. So yeah, great job there. We've both done. So I think we both need a little pat on the back for getting our first interview done.
Well, I don't know if we deserve a pat on the back just yet, but somebody who does deserve a pat on the back is ATS member Dorian Gray, because he nailed your trivia question again.
Yeah, and I know there's been some question marks about how he's always getting the answers right. And you're absolutely right. He did get the answer. The question was, the Taoiseach is the Prime Minister of which country? And Dorian Gray, as Justin has just said, was the first person to post the Republic of Ireland. So there's the answer. Well done, Dorian. And I don't think he's bugging my phone. I don't think he's intercepting my email. So we'll have to see, Justin, with your question, because you're up next with the question. If he gets this one right, we do have a conspiracy on our hands, and I expect someone to start a thread on it.
Well, yes, indeed. Yeah, I had to noodle this one over long and hard. So here is my trivia question for our listeners. And if you go to the ATS Mix forum on AboveTopSecret.com, go to the show number 4 thread and post your answer to the following question. What is hydrazine and why has it been in the news recently? Now, Martin wasn't going to spell his, so I'm not going to spell mine.
I'm just trying to think about that one as I just get a couple of seconds here. And I'm sort of thinking, right, I'm going to have to do some research on that one. That's a really interesting question. Have to see how quickly the first person is with the answer, because let's face it, we know we've got some sharp people on the AboveTopSecret.com website, so we know someone's going to be pretty hot off the answers on that one.
Oh, absolutely. Now, speaking of somebody who was hot with the answers, last week we reported to our listeners that Demagic Ninja and Animal were locked mano a mano in deadly combat in the ATS Member Debates Forum, and Demagic Ninja has emerged victorious. So we're going to be really nice to him in the future because we know he can hurt us.
Yep. And his, just so that people didn't listen the last time, and we have to ask you why you didn't listen last time. The debate there was about should the U.S. national primaries be held on a single day, which certainly in the U.K. we don't have a prolonged voting process. We have just a one-day general election, and then we vote and elect all our candidates. And just talking of candidates, I just wanted to say that everybody, you still have the opportunity to post questions to the three major U.S. presidential candidates, both for Hillary Clinton, Barack Obama, and Senator McCain. If you want to post questions, go to the main page and there on the left-hand side. PR team in New York are really working hard to try and get all of these people on. So if you want to ask a question, you know where to go.
And if you want the inside track on what could very well be a conspiracy to steal votes, then you know which ATS forum moderator you need to talk to get the inside story and her firsthand account.
Absolutely. But before we go off into the US elections, I just want to try and do the little international thing for a few minutes. And the thing I really want to talk about is Northern Rock. So I don't know whether you've been keeping up to date with what's been happening with Northern Rock, Justin.
I'm totally shocked. It offends my American sensibilities. And so rather than force the ATS censors to bleep me, please just give us your take while I keep my temper under control.
You've got to keep your temper under control. Well, what they've done is my government have nationalized Northern Rock. So what does nationalized mean? Well, up until I think it's today, the legislation may well go through our parliament. Northern Rock was a company, a privately owned company owned by shareholders. It went into meltdown, I suppose is the only polite word. People were trying to get the money out of the banks. There were queues around the streets. And the government basically stepped in initially and started to guarantee all the depositors and then started giving Northern Rock loans so that it could continue to do business. And they've gone the full hog now and said, right, we are now going to take this bank from being owned by its shareholders to being owned by the people, the UK. So technically, I am now an owner or will be an owner of a bank because I'm a taxpayer in this country. So for us, this is a real big departure. Most economies, most countries have moved away from nationalization. Certainly in the UK, we had a huge sell-off in the sort of 80s. Most of Europe is probably selling off its nationalized industries. So we now have a government that is nationalizing, buying a commercial bank back into state ownership. And for me, this is a real big no-no. The amount of money that they're going to spend here is rumored to be about £100 billion, which is about $200 billion, which works out for every taxpayer in this country. It's probably going to cost us at the end of the day, probably £6,000, £7,000, £8,000. You know, that's, why don't they just come along and give me that? And I'm going to have a rant here. I'm going to do something that I don't normally do. And Justin's probably sitting there thinking, we have got to try and move on with the show. But I'm incensed by this one. My government can find potentially $100 billion to bail a bank, yet it can't find that kind of money to fund my health service, to fund the police, make sure that the military have all the equipment when they're fighting. So I'm pretty incensed by that. And it just seems totally odd and alien that all of a sudden the government can find billions of pounds. It'd be like, it would almost be like the US government saying, oh, Citibank's in trouble, let's go and take them into state ownership. And I'm just not sure whether the American people would be look on that fairly favorably or not, Justin.
Well, I know I won't, and now that you guys have done it, I know that some Democrat is going to try to do it, and I'm not in the least bit thrilled about that.
Yeah, and it's, I just got to say, I think it was a bit of a surprise for us. I think some people were hoping that this would be sold to a couple of consortiums. I think Richard Branson and his Virgin Group were interested, and the management team of Northern Rock were interested in buying it back. Does seem a bit of a contradiction in terms that the people that caused the problem in the first place were probably going to try and buy it back cheap. And that's probably the other rant I've got here, is that all of a sudden we're bailing out a failing commercial organization whose management at best took their eye off the ball, at worst were probably incompetent and inept, and none of those are suffering. It just seems really odd that my government are quite happy to do this one, and I've seen a couple of threads on Above Politics in the UK politics section, so I certainly know some of the members are getting fairly up in arms about this.
Oh, good heavens. Speaking of up in arms, I just happened to stop into the ATS Mix newsroom before we went on the air, and there, for everybody to see on 45 big-screen plasma TVs, as you know, the folks in Kosovo recently declared their independence. Well, it seems that the Serbs have taken Molotov cocktails to the U.S. Embassy in Belgrade.
I did actually get that. I saw that as well, and I was thinking, well, that's quite odd. I'm sure the State Department will be in a huge flurry, and no doubt there'll be diplomatic messages winging their way around the world saying, get off our land, get off my land. But it is interesting. The Balkans has been a melting pot, has been a bloodbath throughout the centuries. Wars have started there, wars have ended there. It is interesting. One of the things I think is really interesting is Kosovo declared independence from Serbia. Serbia aren't happy about this one because they lose a huge chunk of land, so it then reduces the potential influence and power that Serbia has. But I think you can see a dichotomy of who supports this and who doesn't support this, Justin. The US, the UK, Germany, and probably the major part of the EU have said they'll all recognize Kosovo, yet Russia and China have said, nope, they're really unhappy about this when they will not recognize Kosovo as independent. So you clearly got a very big split and gulf going on here, and it just goes to show where their allegiances lie and where their thought processes maybe in a few years' time lie with that one. So that's really interesting, in the fact that we can see the world splitting along traditional lines.
Say, speaking of splitting along traditional lines, they just had new elections in Pakistan, and that is a much more obvious split from where I stand, although they do seem to be using far fewer Molotov cocktails.
I've got to say, I think that's a very good point there, Justin. I think a lot of people were fairly nervous about that when, you know, Pakistan unfortunately has a reputation for violence with its elections, and I think with the assassination, and I put the word assassination in inverted commas, of Benazir Bhutto, I think a lot of people were very nervous about that one. And I think by most standards, Pakistan would probably say that it's got off with a fairly light, violent election. What is interesting is that the opposition parties, the Muslim League and the Pakistani People's Party, looks like they're going to form an alliance to create the next government, which clearly flies in the face of what Musharraf was looking to do, who's the president. His party have been fairly well trounced, I think, in this one. And there's now talk of, if the Muslim League and the PPP, which is the Pakistan People's Party, can get a 66% majority in parliament, they may try to impeach Musharraf and actually try and get him removed from office, which I think that's going to be an interesting place to go. And just thinking of the impact that Pakistan's having on the war on terror and the close partnership with the US and the UK. Now, there's probably a lot of support given to both our militaries in our campaigns in Afghanistan. I think there's going to be some interesting times in Pakistan.
Oh, absolutely. Now, speaking of difficult elections, I would like to, with our very first interview in mind today, and the possibility of a vote rigging having taken place in New York City, I would like to kind of switch topics a little here, and let's talk about the recent blowouts in Hawaii and Wisconsin. Barack Obama is clearly leaving Hillary in his dust, and so I'm starting to wonder, especially since I heard Corinne tell us from her own point of view what she saw, how likely is it going to be that Mrs. Clinton is going to decide to steal what she can't have through the popular vote?
I think that's a very good point you make there, and I think you're talking about the superdelegates there, and it just shows that I know about superdelegates, and I'm clearly not in the US, so I think this is starting to come up the political agenda across the world. And you're right, it is going to be interesting. I don't know, you know, just how many more states Senator Barack Obama has to win before he has a potentially an unassailable advantage and lead over Clinton. But I think you're right. The Democrat contest is clearly the most interesting here. And you're right. Is Clinton going to pull something out of the hat? Is she maybe going to use the influence and the power potentially that her husband has in the organization, in the Democratic Party, as you say, steal it away?
Well, now, my other question, and I was talking to a few people about this before airtime today, have we overestimated Hillary Clinton from the time she announced that she was running for the presidency right up to the moment? We always assumed that she was going to be very smart and that her political maneuverings would be very Machiavellian and that she would be a very difficult campaigner to defeat. But as I do the math, so far, each time Barack wins, he continues to stomp her by 10 percentage points or more. So is she really actually not as smart as we thought she was, or did I just not get my coffee this morning and I missed the point?
I don't think you did miss the point. I think it would be wrong to say people overestimated Hillary. I think one of the interesting factors is how much of an influence has Bill Clinton been on people deciding to want to elect her? Are people sort of trying to get back to the sort of summer of Clinton being president? Because, you know, I think, and talking to American friends and colleagues I have, you know, people generally see Bill Clinton in a fairly positive light here. And I think they see his presidency maybe now through rose-tinted spectacles, but they probably perceive it as being a fairly good time. And maybe they're thinking, well, if we can get Hillary back, Bill will be in the background and we may get back to the good times of Bill Clinton when he was president. So I don't think we've underestimated that. Clearly, she's been a very effective senator already. Just, I think it's the issue of stepping up from, you know, being a senator to being a presidential candidate is a huge step up. Some people make it, some people don't. And that's where I see is, you know, how much of her campaign has been influenced by maybe the team that her husband had around him and some of those people that have been brought in.
Well, ultimately, what I see is a high degree of inflexibility. She shows up, she makes a speech that sounds like my mother scolding me just so that I know better than to step in a puddle before I go outside when it's raining.
And it is interesting. I think she did get rid of some of her campaign team. So maybe that's a reflection that she's realizing that she's not perceived to be as dynamic and as reactive and being able to read an audience and maybe change on the fly. But certainly some of the stuff I've seen of Obama, yeah, I do get the impression that he seems more natural and it's more of a flow when he's talking. And I don't know whether he does chop and change, but I get the impression that he's being much more dynamic with what he's saying and he's maybe reacting. So if something works, he goes with it. And maybe if something doesn't work, he's just dropping it out and saying, I'm going to move on to safe ground here.
I can see your point, but I would have to say that probably since 2 weeks before New Hampshire, at least, I think the media has turned on her. I think that for a variety of reasons, which we don't need to go into here today, can save them for a future show, but I really do think the media has turned on her, and that has played some role in her continuous defeat after defeat after defeat. And I almost want to shut my eyes as we go into the Texas primary, because if she loses there, you know, she's pretty much done.
I absolutely have to agree with you. I mean, I don't know whether Florida might help her out at all, you know, when those results probably get taken in, because at some stage, you know very well that the results in Florida are going to get taken in. I suppose one of the things that I would say from the point you raised about the media turning against Senator Clinton and then her on this roller coaster downwards is that, are the American people so fickle and so driven and led by what the media say that all of a sudden one of the candidates starts getting a beasting in the press that the people just start saying, well, I'm not going to vote for them?
That's true. It does make you wonder how much power the media really has. Now, speaking of the media, I understand that you have some more information in that big stack of stuff you brought in about another ATS member.
Actually, I do. Funny enough, media, we've been one of our members, Goulds, and I hope I've said that right, so I'll spell it so that he gets his moment of glory in the sunshine. G-O-O-L-S has been cited in a Canadian news article regarding Scientology, which I really don't want to get into because I don't want people banging on my doors, you know, or daubing things on my door because I've offended the Scientology people and have Tom Cruise, you know, on a soapbox outside my door peering through the letterbox. But it's really great that members on ATS are getting noticed. They're being put into mainstream media. You know, I know that the management of ATS is sort of saying, you know, with the November the 5th and all that type of thing, we are, you know, starting to raise the profile of whole ecosystem of what we're trying to deliver here. So I think that's really exciting that, you know, a member has been referenced clearly, unequivocally back to ATS. So I think that's really exciting.
Oh, it's absolutely tremendous, and I'm grateful to the Amigos for giving us the opportunity to do what you and I are doing today. So I think we should recommend that our listeners point and click, go to AboveTopSecret.com, go to the ATS Mix forums, find this show thread, and tell us what you'd like us to talk about in the future. If you have any questions or if you have any insider info that you'd like to get a shot at coming on to tell us about, like we heard from Corinne, then please type slowly so that we can read it easily, and we'd love to hear from you.
Absolutely, and just to reinforce that, if you've got an exciting story, it doesn't have to be in the US. It can be anywhere else in the world. There are some really interesting things going on in the world. So if we could maybe get a member from Pakistan maybe to talk about what's going on there. I know we've got some time differences, but that would be really great. Maybe someone who's on the ground in Kosovo, in Serbia, in Montenegro, anywhere in that region who would want to come on and tell us about what's going on in their region. Justin, I think that'd be really exciting for us.
Absolutely. And holy cow, we did it. We got through an interview, and we managed to get through the rest of our song and dance.
We have done a good job, so hopefully we will get a crust or a crumb from the ATS management team at some stage.
Well, the lady in the front office promised me a cookie, so on that note, I would like to say thanks to everybody for putting up with us again. I'm Justin Case.
And I'm Martin Bain, and we'll see you next time on the Above Politics Show.
Hi, everybody. Dave Rabbit here with the ATS Mix Show from AboveTopSecret.com. When I get ready to relax after doing a long show, I enjoy going to our sister site, BelowTopSecret.com. They have some great forums there, some of which include rants, jokes, puns, and pranks, which is one of my favorites, faith and spirituality, relationships, travel and vacations. They even have a freshman forum for you newbies and rookies. I especially enjoy the music, television, fantasy, and science fiction forums, as well as comics, music, member art, and, of course, video games. But my absolute all-time favorite is cool websites. And I want to tell you why. As everyone knows, I do not read. On cool websites, the membership at BelowTopSecret.com has done the work for me. They've researched the World Wide Web and found very interesting sites. All I got to do, go into the forum, click, and I am at an interesting and very cool website. So when you get through listening to that last ATS Mix show, come join me at BelowTopSecret.com, part of the Above Network, LLC. Remember, deny boredom. BelowTopSecret.com.
You've been listening to the Above Politics Show. If you have a comment, suggestion, or an opposing view, please deliver it at AbovePolitics.com. The views expressed on the Above Politics Show do not necessarily reflect the staff and management of the Above Network, LLC, or any of its affiliates. Thanks for listening, and please continue to deny apathy.